Get up! Get out of here and go!
It's playoff time once again in Milwaukee. And now it's time to break down the game. This is Brewers Extra Innings in the playoffs. Now here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Every time the season ends and it's not the last game of the year for all of Major League Baseball, and you're not the team hosting the trophy, you're going to have a bad taste in your mouth. Does not matter how many wins in the regular season, does not matter how many wins in the postseason, doesn't matter how many runs you scored. When you're watching the other team hoist a trophy, you're always going to feel jealous. You're always going to feel like, why can't that be me? You're going to feel like life isn't fair. You're going to feel like you deserve better. You're going to feel like everything was wasted, all that for that. But that's not how we should be looking at this Milwaukee Brewers season. They are swept by the LA Dodgers. The crew will go down in history as the most regular season wins in franchise history. They beat the Cubs in a dramatic five-game NLDS in their first ever playoff matchup. And it took maybe the greatest single performance in baseball history, regardless of regular season or postseason, to eliminate them in Game 4 here at Dodger Stadium from Shohei Ohtani. I refuse from the top of my lungs to call anything less than a strong, successful season from the Brewers. It can feel disappointing right now. It can feel frustrating, like it's an impossible mountain to climb. That this team that has given us so many memories, that has given us so much fun, just can't get back to the World Series. There's an entire generation that only knows playoff disappointment. There's an entire generation before that that doesn't even know what the playoffs was like. And then there's an entire generation before that that is telling you the stories of how much fun 82 was, how much fun the Milwaukee Braves were, and what it's like to experience the Fall Classic on the good land. But we'll have to wait another year to have fun in October. It stinks to end this way in a sweep. I know everybody wanted at least a singular victory, and of course maybe four or eight more. But the reality is, time will tell what baseball thinks of this Los Angeles Dodgers team. And quite frankly, after watching these four games, and watching the four games previous in the National League Division Series, and even the two games against the Reds, if this goes according to plan for them, and if this goes down like we think it's going to go down, this LA Dodgers team might be one of those teams that you sit back and go, my goodness, how did anybody beat them? But then you explain, well, the Brewers beat them six times in the regular season. They laid an egg in the postseason. You explain to them, well, they were able to use the regular season as a get ready. The sum of their parts was just so much greater. Shohei Ohtani, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Roki Sasaki, Clayton Kershaw in his curtain call. That might go down as one of the best pitching staffs ever in October. And the Brewers could only muster one run a game against those arms. So the Brewers will pack it up and head home to Milwaukee. We'll react to all of it from the fans. I want to hear from the fans tonight. How are you feeling? I'm not calling it a disappointment. You finished runner-up in the National League. You had an incredible year. Yes, you're short of your goal, but you still have to take it with a positive outlook, as I always do. You can be disappointed and frustrated tonight. You may feel like you never had a chance. But the point is, that's why we play the games. The Brewers got beat, plain and simple. But as we look forward to 2026, there will be plenty to be excited about. But today, it will be sad. Jerry Augustine is with us. I'm Dom Catronio, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. You can call, you can text, you can join us on the YouTube live chat as well. It's always sad, Augie, when you lose. And to lose in the fashion the Brewers have lost in these four games in the NLCS will put a damper on what has been a brilliant year, but just your overall thoughts as we get this post-game show started.
You know, so many times we talk, Dom, we talk about the salary. Every time you talk about the Dodgers, the highest salary in all of baseball, and all the things that they have said with the players, they go and get the best players. They need something, they just go get it and they buy it. But, you know, I'm going to take a different spin on it. I saw a veteran team that went out and performed as well as a team can perform. They pitched extremely well. Their bullpen came through that all year long really was a menace for them. They played as good a defense as I've seen any team play all year in this series. And in the offensive side of it, they had the guys who needed to swing the bat. Needed up and down the order. The guys who needed to come through for them came through for them. It wasn't always the top of the lineup. It was the entire lineup. It was the guys who were on the bench that came through for them. I just thought when you look at this Los Angeles Dodger team, they could not have performed any better than they did against this young Brewer team. And I know it's hard. It's hard to go up and you lose four games in a row. This is a young team that battled, even towards the end, right up until the end, they battled. But I'm going to tell you, this is a Dodger team for four games against the Milwaukee Brewers, played as well as they could play, and it showed by winning four games in a row.
You held this team down for the most part for the entire series. It was impressive to say that until this game, they had kept Shohei quiet. They had only allowed 10 runs, and even yet, they allow 15 runs in four games. That's less than four runs a game just by a fraction. I mean, again, the pitching deserves a chance to shine. It just doesn't get that chance because the offense just really had a frustrating time at the plate. Let's get to some phone calls. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Josh from Mequon will lead us off. Josh, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Thanks, Dominic. I appreciate it. Appreciate your show throughout the year. You know, as a lifetime fan here and remembering 1982, I'm appreciative of the recent spate of success we've had. My concern is that, you know, I know tomorrow we're going to get the letter from Mark Attanasio thanking the fans, you know, and congratulating the team on the most wins of franchise history, another division title, and all things we should be proud of, best record in baseball. My concern is this: how do we get over this hump? You know, I mean, I think we had a lot of excellent players on the team this year, very, very good players, and they were able to sustain, you know, with interchangeable parts, that success throughout the year, which I think helps them over the course of a 162-game season. The problem is, as we've seen time and time again, when you get to the postseason, you're talking about a short series, elite pitching, they having those two or three elite pitchers is what determines the outcome of that short series. And we saw that, you know, with the pitching that L.A. was able to put out there. And I don't want to harp on the payroll disparities, but the problem is those veteran pitchers, those pitchers who go out there and can dominate for seven or eight innings are outside of our payroll. We just don't have the ability to do that. So I'd like to know what the game plan is to fix that, or if it's something that we just have to wait for L.A. to win 10 years in a row and for the game to break to the point where they need to actually impose some kind of NFL-structured salary caps, because I don't know if we're just going to keep on getting this letter year after year. And I'm sorry to drone on. This is cathartic for me, so I appreciate you taking my call.
It's all good, Josh. I appreciate the call, man. But on the, you know, on the rules front and on what the future of baseball is, I mean, Dave Roberts just said the quiet part out loud for his victory speech here in front of the fans at Dodgers Stadium. He says, oh, they're saying we're ruining baseball. Well, let's get four more wins and really ruin baseball. So it's like, you know, you hate the play. You can't hate the player. You got to hate the game in a way with the thought that, look, there's no rule against what the Dodgers are doing here, Augie. And you can sit here and say, oh, my gosh, slam the table. Mark Attanasio, spend more money. Okay, the Brewers' evaluation on Forbes is $1.6 billion. Okay, that's the evaluation. If you sold the team, it would be a little bit more than that. Okay, the payroll alone for the players on the field only Not the manager, not the coaching, not the trainers, not the front office. The payroll for the guys on the field are committed over $1 billion from the Dodgers. It's not the same fight. I don't want this to devolve into a payroll discussion, because in a year and a half, we'll really have those discussions coming up with CBA negotiations, Augie. But at the same time, you can sit here and say the Brewers did not play to their standard. If they play to their standard and still got swept, that's where you go like, well, what do you want them to do? In my opinion, the Brewers got beat. And I understand there's access to a player that the Dodgers have that most teams don't. But the Brewers got beat. And that's how I'm going to remember this series.
I agree. I agree with you, Dom. They just didn't perform as well as they have in the past. But you look at this ball club. I think anytime you go through a process and you're not the Los Angeles Dodgers, they have a certain way in which they do their business, and they're going to do their business every year the same way. The New York Yankees are going to do it. The Boston Red Sox are going to do it the same way. They're going to go out and buy the players that they need to be successful. But the Brewers can't do that. They don't have those abilities. But I tell you, the Brewers did a great job this year. In the beginning of the year, where were they picked in the division? Fourth? Look at what they've accomplished. They accomplished so many things. We've already talked about the 97 wins. We've already talked about all the playing the season as probably the most exciting team of all in all of baseball. They got to go to playoffs. They hadn't won a series for several years. They came back and they beat their rivalry in a series, which turned out to be a good series. But they withstood it, came back and won that series. What did they do? They just kept playing the way they continuously played baseball. Yes, they got beat by the Dodgers, but this experience that these young players, this young group of Milwaukee Brewers had, is only going to have them sit back and think about what they were able to accomplish this year and understand, you know what, we played the Dodgers. We got beat by a really good ball team. They played as well as they could play. You know what, we have to get better. They got so many young players that have never experienced what they've experienced this year, that never had the opportunity, that did get the opportunity. And Murph and the Milwaukee Brewers have something started here that could be very special. It's about coming to spring training. It's about doing the work you have to do in the offseason and coming spring training with saying, you know what, we're going to pick up where we left off and we're going to be better.
Yeah, we'll have plenty more reaction to all of this as well. Brewers are swept. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Matt and Alec, I see you guys on the line. I'll get to you guys after the break. I want to thank our friends all postseason long at Neuro Spine Center of Wisconsin. Professional athletes trust Neuro Spine Center of Wisconsin, and you can too. From cutting-edge biologic injections to the least invasive surgeries, get a virtual second opinion. Available throughout Wisconsin, visit nscwi.com. Neuro Spine Center of Wisconsin. Your spine health is their passion. We thank them for sponsoring our postseason coverage here on the flagship WTMJ. Live from Dodger Stadium, the Brewers season is over. We'll react to more of it next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 5-1 in the finale of the season. They are swept by the Dodgers. I'm Dominic Catronio. Gary Augustine is here as well. I want to thank our friends all season long. They've been a great partner of ours, Fifth Third Bank. It's playoff time. Fortunately, it's over. But just like the crew brings the energy on the field, Fifth Third Bank brings it to your business. With local expertise and 15 years in Milwaukee, we'll help you score your next big win. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. You know what? Real quick aside about our friends at Fifth Third Bank. When I first got this job 4 years ago and there weren't any ads on the post-game show, and Fifth Third Bank were one of the first ones to step in, and I thank our team for getting them involved with us here on WTMJ. They have been a tremendous partner for us over the last few years, so my thanks to them. Gary Augustine is with us. I want to get back to the phone lines, though. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Let's get to Matt in Kenosha. Matt, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. I'll start off with a quick lament as well. I'm looking for the right poker analogy here. Are the Dodgers the team with the big stack at the table? Are they the big stack bully, or are they showing up with pocket aces every year? Shohei makes it feel a little bit more like the latter. Even still, you can win with whatever hand you show up at the table. And the Brewers really did all they could this year with what they had. It's been such a ride. I regret that it ended with a sweep here. I think that this series was closer than even the sweep would indicate. But it's been a heck of a ride. Thank you guys for all the work you do. Really appreciate listening to the program.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the kind words. You know, if I can think of a poker analogy here, Augie, you know, maybe it's, you know, if you're playing Texas Hold'em, the Brewers, like, on the river get a flush and they're feeling really good. Like, all right, yeah. I mean, but then you look on the board and it's like, well, there's two aces on the board. Like, maybe there's an ace of spades out and an ace of hearts out, and I've got a flush of hearts because then the river turned a heart. I'm like, cool, I got a flush. I'm feeling good, and it's an ace high flush, and then they unfold. Oh, I had pocket rockets, and I just got a four of a kind of aces, so that pot is mine. That's how I feel it was right now. You felt good coming into this, but the other side just had a better hand.
It does, and it happens. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, I just go back, you know, the experience that this ball club has had. I mean, you take a team. This team had the opportunity. They did so many great things during the season to go in, and I know it hurts. I feel for these young players. I feel for this team. They were so much fun to watch. They did so many great things this year to end up with getting swept by the Dodgers. That's so hard to take. But the learning experience that you get from that can pay off to be paid big dividends. When you're involved in that game, when you're on the field and you're seeing this, you're out and trying to perform and it's not working out well for you, you go up with that. You go up to the plate and you say, hey, what can I do here? What can I do here to get help my team? And it's not working out. You're struggling. You're going through just not swinging the bat well at this time. But you can learn from that. And it's a great experience to learn. Even though it's not successful, Inc., you can learn. And you can take that to the offseason, and it can help you build for the next season. And that's the way I look at this ball club. They did so many great things. They're so much fun to watch. They did so many great things. But yet, you know, it didn't turn out quite like we wanted at the end. But they can learn from the experience they had, because there are a lot of other teams that would have loved to have the experience of just trying to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers as well as they played.
There are certainly moments, not only in tonight's game, but throughout the series, that I think the youth showed. And that's not an excuse. You need to perform despite being youthful. But the way I saw it, you know, there were a few at-bats, a few swing types, a few moments where it's just like, these aren't mistakes they were making in the regular season. And the postseason is a different animal. And this team playing their first, you know, set of road playoff games got to them at Wrigley. It may have got to them here at Dodger Stadium, you know, with the mistakes they made in yesterday's game. But it's all experience that can move forward with, because, I mean, we'll save this for later in this show and even for next week's Brewers Weekly. But just the fact that, hey, if you liked this team, if you enjoyed watching this team, it's virtually back next season. I mean, it is so young. It is so talented. The pitching staff, Chad Patrick, my goodness. We're going to dedicate a whole segment to Chad Patrick. But he just had himself a party here in the postseason of how great he performed. I look at the development of Caleb Durbin quietly having an incredible series. Even having Jackson Churio playing injured. There are so many moments that you sit there and go, whoa, when you think about the young team that this is, that there were some performances to highlight, and of course some that we can pass along and try to put back in somewhere very dark and not think about again. But let's get back to the phone lines, 855-616-1620. Alec, here in Los Angeles. Alec, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
I am, and thanks for taking the call, Tom. Big time listener, long time fan. You kind of alluded to the question that I was going to ask. What does this team look like next year? I mean, we have a history of trading away our big names when they have, you know, one or two years left on the contract. Is Peralta back next year? Is Woodruff back next year? What does the team actually look like? At least
good question. I appreciate. Yeah, it's a good question. You know, we can touch on it here briefly, Augie. You know, first and foremost, and I've said this all season long, and I'm remaining steadfast in this take, I am not trading Freddy Peralta. That's the whole point of the team-friendly, air quotes here, team-friendly deal that he signed, is to keep him for $9 million. Yes, he had some bonuses this year. I think that kicked it up to $10 million. For the amount of production you're getting out of Freddy Peralta, there is no reason to trade him, and you'll get the return on investment. He's got only one more year of team control on this friendly deal that he signed. And then even when he's done, you could give him a qualifying offer once he goes into free agency. That's getting way ahead of ourselves. But when you look at it for Freddy Peralta, He gave you 36 starts this season, a career high in innings pitched in total when you include the postseason, 190 innings plus out of Freddie Peralta. He's not going anywhere. I guess the big question becomes Brandon Woodruff. And the lat strain obviously ended his season early. Would have loved to have him in the postseason. There's a mutual option for next year. I imagine that won't get picked up. Then you come to the, does he get a qualifying offer? Do you give him a new deal? Does he want multiple years? Does somebody outbid the Brewers? I think they would certainly welcome back Brandon Woodruff. But at the same time, there's a lot of other teams that would love Brandon Woodruff's services. How do you see it playing out, Augie?
Yeah, I look at it the same way you do. Freddie Peralta, you know, he's a staple in his starting staff. You know, you look at what he's done over the last several years. He's a, when it's his turn to pitch, he pitches and he goes out and he gets better and better. And I think this year he's even gotten better. He's gotten so better with his secondary pitches. He's been able to be more consistent with them. And he would look at the record and what he's done. We needed a big game pitch. He went out and he pitched a good game. He always kept you in the ballgame. I think Freddie Peralta is a guy that you need on the staff because you're gonna, you possibly could have some younger players behind him with Priester and Chad Patrick and Tobias Harris and Aaron Ashby and Dia Hall. All these guys, you got some possibly young starters that might come up depending on what happens with Woody. And it's going to get interesting. There's a lot of tough decisions that this organization will have to make. But when you look at the pitching staff and you look at this minor league team and you look at what they have in this bullpen, that three-headed monster of Uribe, McGill, and Koenig is so special. It just seems like, boy, you got so much to work with. And it's going to get interesting. Would I like to have Brandon Woodruff back? I think anybody would love to have Brandon Woodruff back if it works out well for the organization. But you have so many great young arms that you can work with. The future is bright, no question. It's bright for this pitching staff. And a lot of the other players, it's going to be the same way. You're looking at the guys that Cal Freelick, you see how he's coming, Terang, how they've come in the last couple of years. Who's going to be these guys that are going to step up next year? Caleb Derwin has just been fantastic all year. So we've got a lot, so many positive things. But going back to Freddie, like you said, he's just a staple here. And he is one guy that, boy, you really need to have come back. He's that leader in that pitching staff.
I mean, you've looking at it right now, you've got Freddie back, you've got Miz back, you've got Tobias Myers probably back in the starting rotation, you've got Chad Patrick, you've got Logan Henderson hopefully healthy and good to go there as well. Maybe you decide to bring back Brandon Woodruff, which would certainly be fun. But you look at the rest of this team, too. You look at the core players, right? You look at William Contreras. The Brewers would probably decline the club option and take him to another year of arbitration. He's still got two more years of team control. Andrew Vaughn still has two more years of team control. Jackson Churio has already signed the deal. You look at Trevor McGill is still in arbitration. Jake Bowers is still heading into his second year of arbitration, or third year of arbitration, I should say. So, I mean, like, I'm looking down at this. Bryce Terang, pre-arb. Sal Frelick, pre-arb. So they're in very good shape as far as a core that is forming for the Brewers moving forward. We'll talk more at length about that later on. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Let me get to some of these texts that have rolled in here as well. From the 262, it's hard not to have an irrational reaction to this game and this series. Going into the postseason, it felt like we found guys who could give us sustainable success around the horn in essentially every position for the foreseeable future. Watching the last four games, perhaps even the last seven, it began to feel like some guys caught lightning in a bottle during stretches of the regular season may not be able to replicate what they did in the year, but I am optimistic that most can, and don't buy the we don't spend enough narrative, because I think there are more question marks for 2026 than there were at the end of game 162. Thanks for a great season. Pleasure to listen. Appreciate that as always. February can't come soon enough. Mike in Michigan here. I hope for better in the playoffs, but we flat out had no answers for the Dodgers. Was it as painful as last year? Absolutely not. I don't believe this is the end of our runs in the post because the plan the front office sent forth is working. We made it further this year. We have many guys coming back, and we have fantastic young talent breaking through the pipeline. Guys like Contreras, Sal, and Bryce need to be extended. Agreed on all fronts. Get to some more texts and more calls, 855-616-1620. Doug, I see you on the line. We'll get you on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. The season of sweeps. The Brewers swept the Dodgers in the regular year. The Dodgers swept the Brewers in the year that counted. It's a 4-0 series. In fact, the first time the Dodgers have swept a best of seven since 1963, the second year this ballpark was open, sweeping the Yankees in the World Series. Brew's Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. As temps drop, don't risk a cold shower. Now through October 31st at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, they're offering $200 off a new water heater plus a free 5-year extended labor warranty. Stay cozy. Visit Sider, Seider.com today. A couple of notes here on the text line that I want to get to before we get to Doug. This one made me smile from Kyle. I live in Adams, Tennessee. I paid $150 for the MLB package. Best money I've ever spent. I've been thoroughly entertained for over 6 months. Thank you, Brewers, and the entire organization. Thank you for the kind words. I have no complaints. Originally from Muskego, now in Adams, Tennessee. Appreciate that one as well. From Nick, as we reflect on the season coming in, and thank you for your coverage all year. Love listening to the show. Appreciate that. Nick says, it was a franchise-setting season, but unfortunately ending in a very unfortunate way. I'm already looking forward to pitchers and catchers reporting next spring. Appreciate the kind words, Nick. Get to some more texts as well. Let's get to our friend Doug in Baraboo. Doug, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Good evening, Dom, Augie. It was another great, actually, season and fun season. My wife and I, we were able to get to 39 games this year, including the playoffs. And it was such a relief to be able to get past the first series like we did. And get in to the pennant series. That really stuck with me in a bad way last year that we couldn't pull that off. Dom, I've been listening to your shows. Your knowledge is mind-boggling of the game and statistics. I've never heard anybody that knows can talk to the statistics like you do. I go back to the TMJ in modern times. Well, I go way back, but in modern times, I go back to Brian Manthey, Lynn Casper, Bill Michaels, Greg Masick, who I think is still around there, and Dan O'Donnell and Matt Pauley, and now you. And I was so happy to hear you say next week, Brewers Weekly, because I know fellas like you, in tradition, get a chance to move on, and I'm sure someday you will. And the best of luck to you, and then to your colleagues. Augie Haas, appreciate his comments even tonight. It was great to hear, and of course, Craig, and then Bob that fills in for you. It was just a tough way to go down. Not to be able to score any runs and the way it ended, but we'll be back next year, and they played good ball, and all I can say it was a fun season, tough ending.
Yeah, appreciate that, Doug. Thank you for the kind words. Augie, when I look at this club and I look at this season overall, I think, as we look at this series and the way it went, if the Brewers lost in like six games and just got beat that way, I think people will be sitting here going, you know what, they gave it their best shot. That's a really good team on the other side. But that's the taste that's going to be left in your mouth, that you didn't get your best foot forward. You didn't get more than one run per game. The Brewers are better than this deep down. They didn't play their best ball. But yet, that's just sometimes how it goes. I think that even losing this series in four, it just can't overshadow how great the year was. We can all be pissed off and annoyed that they didn't get the job done. Of course, I promise you, the guys in that clubhouse feel the same way. Like, goodness, we did all that for that. But at the same time, like, it is going to sting for tonight, but in like 2 weeks' time, and you sit there and realize the Brewers are going to finish the top four team in baseball, right? There are only four teams left at this point. There are 26 other teams that are wishing they were in this position. And it's hard perspective to hold right now, and it's disappointing. But the truth is, this was a successful season of Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Yeah, it is disappointing. I think anytime you go out and you play and you don't win it, it's a disappointment. This team had a goal of going to the World Series. And, I think to go along with the disappointment, Dom, the disappointment you have after the game, you give yourself a – it's like I always say, it's a quick evaluation. You give yourself maybe 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you just say, you get really frustrated. Just evaluate yourself real quickly. And then there's a sense of frustration that comes in. Frustrating that, you know, what could I have done to be better? What do I need to get better? And I think it's a combination of that disappointment and that frustration that gives you that impetus to say, you know what? I've got to figure out what I can do to be a better baseball player next year. This team is a young team. It's extremely versatile. When you look at the players, a lot of players can play a lot of different positions. Look in the outfield. They're interchangeable in the outfield. This infield, you look at what Ortiz has done at short, come out to be one of the better shortstops in all of baseball. Trang, probably the best second baseman in all of baseball. Durbin, the plays he's made at third base, he has been a star. He's really played well. And then you look at this pitching staff, and you look at Miz coming in yesterday, and Quinn Priester and Chad Patrick have just been phenomenal in this series. So you look at so many things that this club can do and the flexibility and the versatility that they can have in all phases. This is going to be special. There's a lot of things that are going to go on with this ball club going into next season. I'll tell you what, spring training, I can't wait for spring training because it's going to be so interesting because they have so many options of what they can do. And there are going to be new faces. That's the way the game is. But this is a special team, and they've accomplished a lot of special things. Disappointment, yes. Frustration, yes. But you know what? You learned a lot because you got the opportunity to play against a really good team, the Dodgers, who played as well as they could play to beat you.
Yeah. There's a question in the live chat about shortstop and Joey Ortiz. Do we look to a free agent or a trade? I remind you, Cooper Pratt's on the way. I mean, the Brewers are very excited about Cooper Pratt. I mean, he is going to be a non-roster invitee to spring training, and the Brewers are going to see what they got with him, and we'll break all that stuff down throughout the offseason as we get closer to pitchers and catchers reporting. A few more texts before we go to break. From New Ulm, Minnesota, you know, any thoughts on a potential lockout in 2027? Thanks for all the coverage this season. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit more once the Dodgers get through this. If they do this again, I mean, there's fuel to the fire. And we'll see what happens after the 2026 season, because that's when the CBA expires after next season. But Scott Boras was down here in the front row. He certainly knows the answer to what's going to be happening there. Zach and Racine, it was an honor to be a part of this season with this team and the Brewers. You guys rock. Appreciate that one. Riley in Weston, Wisconsin. Not a great series, but let's celebrate the season for what it was. Set the franchise record for wins. So many memorable moments. And they honored Uecker in a phenomenal way. Can't wait for the top games countdown. Lots of great options to choose from. Yeah, that'll be quite the put together. I might have to make that two episodes, the inaugural mentions and the actual top 10. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ. Jerry Augustine is here. I'm Dom Catronio. A few more texts. This one from Mark. You know, Murphy is never going to be good with the players. Don't make the playoffs. 3 out of 9 games, only scoring 4 runs out of 4 games. Look, man, like, he's not the one up there in the box. That's all I have to say to that. Chat again next season. Appreciate the text. This one, man, Otani would be so fun to root for if he wasn't playing for big money LA. It's not only the fact that they can spend the most, but it's the fact that they are the most attractive team of international players as well. You know, i.e. the top 3, maybe 4 this winter, Japanese players are always signing massive multi-year deals. You know, you look at Rintaro is coming over now next year, and, you know, probably the Dodgers are the favorite, right? Just like they were able to sign Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki and do all this stuff. I mean, it's a desirable place to be, and you look at the money they make on the Japanese market just when Shohei is here, and let's go ahead and have the Shohei conversation, Augie. Shoot, I mean, I don't think there was ever been an individual better game, like, period, point blank, regular season or postseason. I don't care that it was 3-0 in the series. He just went 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, and then 3 homers at the plate. Like, there's only been 13 3-homer games in the postseason ever, and he throws in 6 shutout with 10 punchies. I mean, it's the greatest game I have ever seen ever, and I will never stop freaking out about Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dom. You know, right from the beginning, when he took the mound in the first inning, he had a couple punchouts, and just the way he threw the ball, he got himself in trouble, had runner on third base with less than 2 outs, was able to get out of it. We expanded the strike zone. I was just so mesmerized by, you know, the focus that it took for him, not only to pitch and really execute his pitches, which he did an outstanding job. But at the plate, to hit three home runs, I don't think I'll ever see a game that has been played or played by one individual any better than that. And put it on such a big stage. You're in the stage, you're in the playoffs, to go to the World Series, and to come up with a game like that, it just doesn't get any better. If you have ever challenge about why he's the guy you're in and you're always going to be the MVP, all you have to do is watch what he did tonight. It was just unbelievable. It was fun to watch. As a former ball player, you just go in awe. And it was even as much fun to watch his own teammates. He hit a home run, and they're putting their hands on their head going, what is happening here? But you know what? Unique. He's a unique individual. He understands the game. He's so good at it. But to see a guy with that ability to go out and pitch and hit like he did tonight, we'll never see that much anymore, ever, I don't think.
I mean, just the fact that you look at it for Shohei, the expectations of the world are on his shoulders. They expect greatness every single time he comes to the plate, comes to the field. And quite frankly, until tonight in the postseason, maybe other than game one of the wild card when he hit two homers against the Reds, but he had been pretty quiet. The Brewers had kept him in check. The Phillies had kept him in check. And then with three swings, he was not retired at the plate. Three homers and a walk, 10 strikeouts on the mound, winning pitcher. It's video game, it's Little League, it's all the cliches, but your point there, Augie, about the reaction of his teammates. These are big leaguers, the best in the world, seeing something they've never seen before and reacting like children do in the first row when they get an autograph from their favorite player. Like, it is simply humbling to sit here and watch greatness every single night. We are on the planet at the same time as the greatest athlete to walk this earth. I am saying athlete, not just baseball player. I'm dead serious. There is nobody like this guy. He runs like a freaking cheetah. He can hit balls 117 miles an hour over the pavilion that used to be thought that only Willie Stargell could do. And now he's throwing 100 miles an hour in a postseason game. There is simply nothing to compare him to.
I totally agree. You know, and when you take all those things you said, those are excellent points you just brought up, and we talk about his teammates, but in the expectations on the big stage and going to it. But you know, the one thing that you really see in his face where he has a remark or he makes a facial expression or things like that, he loves the game. He plays the game because he loves the game, and he welcomes the challenge. And that's what makes it so unique. I don't think he worries about it. I think he just understands it. He knows it, and he loves the challenge. And he's going to go, and he's going to go out and play his game, and he's going to do really well. But just you know, what we saw tonight is, I still can't believe it. It was just absolutely phenomenal to go out and do it tonight. But the one thing you all see when he plays the game, he plays it with respect. You can tell he loves it, and he goes out and he just does it day in and day out. He's just he's a shining star above a shining star in the game of baseball, and we won't probably see many people like that ever come about again. But I'll tell you what, we should just, each and every time we have the opportunity to watch him, we have to enjoy it, because he is definitely something very special.
It's just a shame that he's in Dodger blue and beaten up on these Milwaukee Brewers. Before we get to break, this hurts, but this was a great season. It really feels like people fell back in love with baseball in Milwaukee. As someone who watches 162 every year and lives and breathes baseball, it warms my heart to see people become passionate about the Brewers again. It makes all the more heartbreaking how it ended. I appreciate that text from the 262. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. We'll get to some more texts, get to your calls if y'all are still hanging out with us, and we'll send Augie on his way after this as well on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I guess that was our buy or sell segment about the greatest game of all time. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. By Tony Wendorfer Associates. See, the end of the season has got me feeling loopy. I've only been reading these ads all season long. But buy or sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorfer. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorfer Associates. One of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin and part of First Weber Real Estate Services. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Let's step up to the plate together. Wendorf team. www.firstweber.com. The Brewers fall. They did not play great offensively. They played great on the pitching side of things. I do want to give a chance to really highlight the performance from Chad Patrick tonight. Four innings, just one hit. It was a ball that still hasn't landed from Shohei Ohtani. He had himself a night. But this postseason for Chad Patrick, as a reliever, mind you, when he was a starter all season long, made it through the full season healthy, career high in innings pitched as a professional. He appeared in six games, nine innings total. Opponents hit 100, 100 against him. A whip of 0.44. 11 strikeouts in nine innings, just one walk and two solo homers. And the two guys that hit solo homers off of him, Augie, were future Hall of Famers, future first ballot Hall of Famers, future unanimous Hall of Famers, perhaps, and Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani. What a performance out of nowhere from Chad Patrick, the rookie.
Boy, from the first time he came up, and you know, there are times he's up and he did such a great job when he came up. He was still working on things. He got sent down, and what does he do? He goes down to get himself better. Goes to get better with his cutter. He learns how to locate his fastball. He's got his breaking ball. He uses all quality pitches. He learns how to pitch up in the zone when he needs to. I'll tell you, if there's a pitcher that on this ball club that has really made big strides this year, I'd have to go with Chad Patrick. He is from the beginning to the end, like he pitched through tonight, was just been fantastic. Now, here's a guy who's going to be able to show the Milwaukee Brewers versatility. He can start, he can relieve, he can work on all different things in the bullpen. These are special players you need to have. And young players that develop like he has, his future is bright, and he's going to mean a lot to this Brewer organization.
The Brewers have another rookie that was tremendous this postseason, and he pitched yesterday. His name is Jacob Mazurowski. Three games, all technically out of the bullpen. 12 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, only 2 were earned. 1 homer, 3 walks, 16 strikeouts, a .163 batting average against for him. Those two rookies are giving me the vibe and giving me the feeling of that 2018 club when Woodruff was still a rookie, Freddie had just debuted, Burns was still just right on the fringes and trying to figure out what he was going to become, right? But you look at it, you can see the next crop coming. You can see what the Brewers always do, homegrown pitching. And Miz and Chad are going to be massive parts of this team in the rotation next season.
Yeah, we saw what Chad has done, and we just talked about Chad and how he's progressed and what he's done and taking the ball in his hand. I hope he just continues to work hard and improve what he can improve on. He's just locating has been fantastic. The big guy, Jacob Mazurowski, we were wondering where he's going to be. He went to start the season. He was throwing the ball very well. We're trying to find a good pace and rhythm for him, but he made the adjustment. The adjustment of when we talked to Chris Hook, where they had him, his posture a little bit different, his arm angle changed. And ever since he's done that, he has been fantastic. And boy, just dominating. And we talked about how he uses his breaking ball as well as his off-speed stuff, his secondary pitches, as much as that great fastball he does have. The future is bright. When you think about two men that really blossomed in these playoffs, I agree with you. It has to be Jacob Mazurowski and Chad Patrick. They were fantastic. And I'm going to tell you what, the Brewers' future is bright in the pitching. They're going to be a big part of it.
And then offensively for the Brewers, you know, Jackson Churio is that guy. I mean, he's already tied for the franchise record in homers for a career in the postseason. That record is going to be his maybe even next year. Two homers this postseason, a leadoff bomb off Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 8 runs batted in this postseason. Yes, he was playing injured, so it makes you imagine, man, he hit .303 playing injured. What if he had both of his legs underneath him? And a reminder that the Brewers signed him to that deal for moments like this. They knew what they were doing. People were complaining, like, how could you give somebody who hasn't even played in the big leagues 8 years, $82 million guaranteed? Well, Yao, he is under team control through 2033, if the Brewers so choose. So guaranteed through 2031, then the team options kick in 32 and 33. Future superstar on the way in Jackson Churio.
Yeah, is there anybody who is more resilient than Jackson Churio? Yesterday, hopping off the field thinking, well, there's no way he's going to be back. And he just, here he is in the lineup again today. He pulls a hamstring. He gets you don't think, well, is he going to be out? He already pulled it, was out for a long period of time, came back. He wasn't come back. He was in the game the next day. His resiliency and his love for the game and his ability to swing the bat, I tell you, the future is so bright. He's going to be – he is a qualified superstar in the making, the way he's been playing each and every year, getting better and better. It's just so much fun to watch, and I think each year we watch him, he's just going to get that much better, and he's going to be one of the top players in all of baseball.
The Brewers are going to try to get back here, and the Brewers are going to try to find a way to win this series and to win and move on to a World Series. In my opinion, Augie, the first thing the Brewers need to do is figure out what they're doing on the corners of the infield. You know, is Caleb Durbin going to be your everyday third baseman next year, or is he going to be moving to a different position if there's a ripple effect of Bryce Terang potentially being a shortstop? Or is Jake Bowers and Andrew Vaughn your platoon at first base all year next year? Is that what you want for next year? Because Jake Bowers certainly finished strong, and his versatility is really exciting. You know, we can talk about it all year long. We can talk about it till the cows come home and how all season long, slug, slug, slug. Can you win in the postseason without slug? The Brewers were going to be the team that could test that theory. And, well, it rained true once again. A lack of slug. They slugged against the Cubs. They were only outhumbered 9-7. They hung in there. Here, they just got boat raced by great pitching, and they did not have the slug that they needed. Even despite, I mean, the Dodgers, like we said, just 15 runs in four games. They only hit, you know, six homers, three of them by Shohei tonight, and they were all solo. Like, the Brewers just need to have the ability to change the scoreboard at will, and the guys that they thought were going to do it in this series were largely absent.
You know, the one thing that this organization will always do, and it was, I will always try to get better, and one thing that Matt Arnold will always do, he's going to bring in as many players as you can to make this team better. Is the corners going to be a situation? I think Caleb Durbin has done a fantastic job there. Is he going to be the guy you want there? Is there some movement? But again, we talk about this ball club. Their versatility allows you to do more things. You take a guy, you take like Bowers, can play the outfield. He can pinch hit. He can play first base. He's been swinging the bat real well. We saw that when he's done at the end of the year. So their versatility allows them to do a lot of things. It also allows them to bring in players and be challenged at those positions. It's going to get interesting. Will Ortiz be the shortstop next year? Will it be Terang moving over, who's probably one of the best second basemen in all of baseball? This is the versatility of this ball club and this front office with Matt Arnold. They're going to bring in guys to always figure out how they can get better. Do they have to learn how to hit the home run? Yes, they do. Did they hit home runs the second half of the year? They did much better than they did in the first year. First half of the year when they manufactured runs. But they scored four runs or more than any team in baseball. They're fun to watch. So it's going to get really interesting. A lot of questions are going to be brought up over the winter. I think one thing you're going to do, Dom, is over the winter you're going to have a lot of fun discussing this and going over things and watching the moves that the Brewers make. But it's all going to come down to spring training, and there will be new players. There will be some changes, and it's going to be interesting what they do.
Yeah, I could really see of all the pending free agents, I just feel like there's a way to bring Brandon Woodruff back. I really do think there could be a way. We'll analyze that throughout the offseason and see what the Brewers do. We do have a Brewers Weekly next Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and we'll start getting ready for the World Series at that point. Well, Jerry, I can't thank you enough, man, you know, with what you've been able to do for us here on this station the last couple of years and bringing your expertise and your experience as a big leaguer, as a coach, as a media analyst. You've done virtually everything in this game, and I really, really thank you for staying up late with us and talking Brewers baseball all season long. It has been a privilege, my friend, and I hope you have a great, great offseason.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dom. You know, I love the game of baseball, and anytime I can get and talk about the game of baseball, it makes for fun. But I want to thank you. You brought another phase of baseball that I don't know that much about, the analytical part of it. There's so many different things I didn't know. And I sit there and I listen to your shows and I go, man, now I can watch it and I can take that, what you brought in, and I can add that to what I like. I love the game. I enjoy being with you. Doing this stuff has just been so much fun. I enjoy doing the show, and I you know, hopefully we can do it next year. We'll see how it all works out. But taking another step, I want to really thank the Milwaukee Brewer fans. The month of September, you coming to the stadium was this, so special, filling those seats each and every day. This team really blossomed when you guys, when you people showed up this ball coming back. That it was just a great season. The attendance was fantastic. And I'm going to tell you what, the future is bright. We have just finished the season. Yes, it didn't end the way we want to, but I'm going to tell you, we got a lot to look forward in 2026.
I appreciate that. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, joining us on 620 all season long. Thank you, my friend, and go get your golf game all shortened up, all right?
All right, thanks, Tom. Great being with you.
All right, Jerry Augustine here. We'll take a breather, get to some more texts, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the American League. That was quite the game, wasn't it? Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ. The Brewers fall. Frustrating way to end your season. Just tough. The thing is, the Brewers falling in the fashion they did, the pitching gets overshadowed by the lack thereof of offense. That Yelich was as quiet as he was in this postseason. That Vaughn was as quiet as he was in this postseason. That Contreras was as quiet as he was in this postseason. Terang, Frelick, the guys that the Brewers relied on all season long, they got solved by the Dodgers. The Brewers could not hit a breaking ball to save their lives. It was frustrating to watch at times. The Brewers entered this game just 1-46 against breaking balls. 1-46. It's pretty nuts when you think about that for an entire series. So the hits that they had tonight, you know, you had the Churio single was on a hanging slider from Banda. Contreras had a single off Otani on a sweeper over the middle. So there's a little bit going in your direction. But other than that, you know, you had the doubles. Churios and Durbin's both came on sweepers. And the Brewers had the leadoff man aboard in 6 out of the 9 innings tonight and could not get the job done. It's exactly what we talked about in the pregame show. Get the leadoff guy on. They only had 3 innings where they had the leadoff man on that wasn't the leadoff homer from Jackson Churio. They did it 6 times tonight and couldn't get the job done. And when you add it all up, at the end of the day, the Brewers, since the second inning ended in Game 1 of the Division Series, from the third inning of Game 1 on, the Brewers went a total of 5-38 with runners in scoring position for the rest of the postseason. They were 7 for their first 14, then went 5-38 the rest of the postseason. They had fewer hits the last three, let's see here, the last 4 games. Yeah, the last 8 games, they had 5 hits with runners in scoring position. That is the smoking gun. It's not about slug. It's not so much about the Brewers' lack thereof of patience at the plate. The big hits did not arrive, and sometimes you grip the bat a little too tightly, and it's not going to go your way. The Brewers needed to make sure that they, you know, played Brewers baseball, and there were flashes in the pan when they looked like they were doing that. But the reality is, the other team just completely disarmed you at what you do best. They barely walked anybody. They did not allow the Brewers to generate that big inning, right? Think of that first inning. The Dodgers scored 3 in the first in the blink of an eye. The Brewers had scored 3 runs the entire series. The pitching continued to just dominate the Brewers. Did not matter who they threw. We talk about the bullpen, right? Brewers couldn't solve Anthony Banda, couldn't solve Blake Treinen, the guys that you needed to get after. You knew Vezina and Roque were going to be tough, but they could not get through against the guys they needed to get through against. Christian Yelich is obviously going to be hogging a lot of the headlines about his performance in this postseason. Had a great chat with Yelich earlier today. The disappointment is real, I promise. Even as he delivers his postgame presser, he spoke to the guys on the beat. just that he feels crushed that he could not contribute more and that this poorly timed slump happened at the end of the season. Everybody goes through slumps, and I mean, there were times he looked like he was on the surface of the sun and it didn't work out. And we can speculate whether or not he was healthy all winter long, but the point is, Yelly didn't want that excuse to be anchored to him. He didn't want to be known as the injury-prone guy. He didn't want to make an excuse for what he felt was his own performance. And I respect the heck out of that, and I respect the heck out of Christian Yelich for his performance all season long, coming off of back surgery. We can be disappointed and frustrated and all that stuff as fans because you have him in such a high standard, and he has himself to an even higher standard. It doesn't burn anybody harder than Christian Yelich the fact that these last few postseasons have not performed the way that he's used to performing. I can promise you that. It was made clear to me today by Yelly himself. Maybe he forms into a different sort of role, not so much as a power threat maybe in the future, because Father Time does catch up to everybody. And Yelly, next year, will be entering his age 34 season. And that's kind of where the bell curve starts to go on the downturn. So you hope that he can still find it, and you still wrap it all up, 100 RBI season, 29 homers, a 795 OPS. That's now three straight seasons. Now, granted, 2024 was cut short, but that's three straight seasons now that he's become the primary DH that, okay, you see signs. You see that Miami version of Christian Yelich that everybody was so excited to acquire. Yes, MVP Yelly isn't walking through that door probably anytime soon, 36 bombs in 2018. But man, if he can still be a productive 2020-style player in his 30s, that's going to help the Brewers win some games. Next year might be the first year we see Jackson Churio really take this team and really say, this is my team, and take them to the next level. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see what the Brewers do in the offseason. We'll break down that to-do list coming up next Thursday. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up on the other side of the break. We'll get some thank yous, get a couple more last-second texts as we get ready to land the plane. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Also Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Pair perfectly with a day at the ballpark in 2026, stocked at American Family Field all year long. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for listening all season long. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. With Willy Adames, I think we win the World Series. Ortiz has had the most bases loaded attempts. And with Adames, these are tons of runs. Maybe someday they'll play the player. I'm only asking for one player. I believe shortstop made the differences here at the plate. Hey, they paid Yelly. They're going to pay Churio in the future. Maybe there's another one on the way that the Brewers can decide to do with an extension. But I've said it since early this season. Bryce Terang's the next one on my priority list. You can get him to sign a deal, move him to shortstop. That can take care of a lot of things. Or even you think about what you want to do with the catcher position. Jefferson Caro is going to be here, man. Jefferson Caro is somebody the Brewers are really excited about. Or do you extend Jacob Mizorowski to a Freddie Peralta-like deal, maybe with a little more cash, like an Aaron Ashby-type deal? Or Chad Patrick? These are decisions the Brewers will have to make moving forward. This one from Kevin in Nashville. Really think the guys are just exhausted after the grueling Cubs series beating the former manager. I was at all five games, and the emotions were intense. The Brewers just seemed exhausted for this series, whereas the Dodgers were rested. With that said, they needed to get over that jump. Next year is going to be awesome. From the 630, congratulations to the Brewers on a great season overall. My only disappointment in this series, and I didn't watch every pitch, it seems like they got away from the things they did in the regular season that made them so good. Working counts, fouling off pitches, taking advantage of mistakes. It's exciting that they still have a lot of guys coming back next year and should be another great season. I'm just disappointed this season ended the way it did. I wanted them to do it for Uke. Yeah, agreed entirely on the Uker front. From the 262, this hurts badly, but a great season. It really feels like people fell back in love. I think I read this one earlier, but makes it more heartbreaking of how it ended. Let's hear from the manager. Pat Murphy, after a tough defeat, as his season is over. His second year at the helm, he's already got two playoff appearances under his belt, and a series victory. Here's Murph.
Murph, obviously not the ending you wanted. I mean, what'd you say to the guys in there just about the season as a whole here?
I mean, we've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. And, you know, we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good. We were part of tonight, an iconic, you know, maybe the best individual performance ever in a postseason game. I don't think anybody can argue with that. Guy punches out 10 and hits three homers. I'm really proud of our team. I admire our team. Enough has been said. The narrative has been said many times, but, you know, it came to an end tonight to a team that is not only talented, played great.
And we've talked a lot about the pitching. You just mentioned how many pitching performances they had in this series. What'd you make your offense? Was it their pitching? Was it a little bit of everything? Just what'd you see from the offense over the four games?
Well, since the beginning of time in baseball, when you have dominant pitching on the mound, throwing 98 to 100 every guy, and with tremendous off-speed pitches, the command they showed, Will Smith deserves a ton of credit. Yeah, I said it was dominant pitching. If you want to say our offense, I think most offenses would struggle, you know.
Go here in the front row, Sophia.
Murph, when you think about this team and, you know, some of the performances you got from the young guys, right? Guys like Chad and Miz and Caleb. What do you want them to take away from this season and the experience of the DS and playing against a team like the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great experience, but that's where you got to go. That's why the little things matter. That's all the things we harp on matter, because we don't have as big a margin of error when your team is not filled with the same amount of talent. So we learn a lot from it. We had a lot of young players. You mentioned Durbin, you know, Churio's in his second year. You know, he looked pretty comfortable the whole series. So it's, a lot of good things. Chad Patrick, Miz, a lot of guys stepped up. So excited about that for them. They have experienced this. They've seen it firsthand. They know how precious it is. You lead the league in wins, and you do some great things for the franchise, but still, you know, there's work to be done. So the emotional series in the Cubs, is you guys have to know the Brewers-Cubs thing well. You have to have been part of it to understand how it really zapped a lot out of us emotionally, and then to have to come back and play right away. I think, and then we lose a one-run game, and it just takes us off. It took us off it a little bit, and then the pitching performances by the Dodgers, put the hammer down.
Questions? Back here to Paul.
Murph, not a lot of free agents. I mean, this is pretty much the team you could run back with next year. How do you feel about that, and how much are you looking forward to getting another shot at it with largely the same group?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, you say that, but that's not just how it always works. But right now, we just have to sit back and look at our health and make sure guys are getting healthy, guys that need off-season procedures and things to get done can stay healthy. We give them a plan of attack going forward. And, I love the guys. I love what they bring to the table. I love their possibilities going forward. But like every year, we'll look a little different for sure.
So that is Pat Murphy. And, I just want to share an aside about Murph real quick here at the end of the program as we get ready to wrap things up in the next 5 minutes. When Murph got the job and he had the introductory press conference and he talked about what he believed the Brewers were going to look like under his leadership and what he hoped this season would, you know, what the first couple years would look like. And I think he has molded this club into what he wants. But anytime he asks, you know, anytime somebody asks him about his leadership or him being a manager, he always deflects to the other coaches and always
deflects to the players. And I think Pat Murphy is such a great fit for this team right now. I think that, you know, maybe sometimes he loves a quote, and sometimes he gets in front of the media and he sees some people that he's been reading and known for a very long time, and he wants to put on a show. In his words, we're all acting in this, and we are. I'm acting right now, right? I'm acting like it's okay that the Brewers just scored one run a game in the last four games. Nobody's happy with that. But I'm sitting here and saying that Pat Murphy is somebody that is so easy to talk baseball with, is so easy to inspire a young generation. You got to think about this for a second. This guy's in his 60s. This guy had a heart attack in 2020. Came back healthy. He lives and breathes baseball. He was looking at condos in Chicago when Craig Counsell got the job down there, and then the Brewers picked up the phone and said, no, we want you. And he has put every second of his being into trying to be the best that he can be for everybody around this organization. The word is, it's about people. And that thing is so true for the Brewers and so true for Pat Murphy. He relies on the people in his corner to set them up for success. Unfortunately, there was no success in this series. Maybe there'll be more success next season. But when we talk about people, let's go ahead and start our thank yous here at the end of the show. I got to start with our folks here at WTMJ, starting with our producers, Matt Yazel, on the show tonight. Matt, you guys crushed it all year long. You've been my right-hand man most of the season. I appreciate you more than you know. Nate, Evan, Brian, Isaac, everybody crushed it this season. I cannot do this job without my producers back home in the mothership, staying up late, especially on a night like tonight. Our administration at WTMJ, Michael Spaulding, Tiff Pua, Brian D., Gabe Neitzel, Ashton Rotman, Greg Scalzo, thank you all so much. And, of course, the big poobah, Craig Karmazin. Also, thank to Bob Brainerd for filling in for me on Tuesday nights. For Gabe Neitzel, Greg Matzik filling in for me on occasion. I appreciate them more than you guys know, and look forward to playing some golf with you guys here very, very soon. To the broadcast team here for the Milwaukee Brewers, you guys have no idea how good we have it here in Milwaukee. It is so top-notch. Jeff Levering, Lane Grindle, the impossible task of stepping into the role the first year after Bob Uecker's passing. And I think they were so gracious with their time, with their energy, with everybody asking them how they're feeling as they have to grieve in public. And I thank them for letting us into their lives. And as we start a new generation of Brewers on the radio, Jeff and Lane and Josh Maurer were fantastic to listen to all season long. So those three, fantastic. Kent Sommerfeld, what can we say? 40 years in the show here with the Brewers. Let's make it 41 next year, the engineer of your Milwaukee Brewers. And over on the TV side, of course, Brian Anderson, Sophia Minert, Bill Schroeder, Vinny Rotino, Tim Dillard. Thank you all so much. To Brewers, to the PR staff, Mike Vassallo, Andrew Grumman, Owen Bishop, Ken Spindler, Tyler Barnes, Leslie, Jenna, thank you so much for all of our requests. You are so accommodating and helpful for us throughout the season. To the coaches, Murph, I already mentioned, Chris Hook, Jim Henderson, Connor Dawson, Al LaBeouf, Eric Tyson. The list goes on. Julio Borbón, Jason Lane. Thank you. To the players, I don't have a job without you guys. Thank you so much for letting me put a microphone in your face and ask you stupid questions from February to October. To the front office, to Matt Arnold, to Mark Adonasio, to everybody in the front office for being such a forthcoming and informative front office that doesn't shy away from the media. And the biggest thank you of all to you, the fans. This is a dream job. Maybe one day we'll be on the play-by-play mic. Maybe we'll be here, maybe be somewhere else. But the fact that I get to sit here and talk about baseball on a daily basis, man, I'm blessed. And it's all because of you guys and because of you listening and enjoying this program and saying so in the ratings and the reviews and on social media. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, every single one of you. You let me live out a dream of covering Major League Baseball every single day. So we will be back next week on Thursday night. And as I say at the end of every program, we'll say it into the offseason. I'm Dom Catronio. Good night from L.A. and keep on swinging.